Ready to have your reality bent? Today, we're going deep, deep into the world of visual illusions.
It's not just about those funhouse mirror tricks. We're going to get into some research that's really making waves.
Making waves how? Come on, spill it.
Well, this research is coming out of a place called, get this, the Reality Bending Lab.
Okay. They definitely win the award for coolest lab name.
Right. And they're doing some pretty mind-blowing stuff, looking at how our susceptibility to illusions.
You mean like how easily we fall for those visual tricks?
Exactly. How that might be tied to our personalities, even potentially to.
Whoa, hold on. Personality. That's where things get really interesting. Tell me more about this connection.
So think about how illusions have been studied in the past. It was always very subjective, right? Like, does this line look longer or shorter?
Yeah, it's all about what the person thinks they see, which can be so different for everyone.
Exactly. But this lab is changing the game. They've ditched the subjective questions and developed a totally new method using software called Pollution.
Pollution? Sounds ominous.
Maybe a little. But it's brilliant, really. It lets them create these classic illusions, like the Delboeuf illusion, the Ebbinghaus illusion, even the classic Miller-Lyer illusion.
Those are some big names in the illusion world. I'm already picturing those lines with the arrows.
Exactly. But here's the difference. Instead of relying on what people say they see, Pollution tracks how they respond to the illusions in real time, making it way more objective.
You mean like how their brain is actually reacting to the visual information, not just what they think they're seeing?
Yeah.
You got it. It's like peeking into the control room of their brain while it's trying to make sense of these visual puzzles. And what they're finding is, well, some people are just better at resisting those illusions than others. They've even given it a name. Factor I.
Factor I. I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this factor I.
Well, I stands for illusion, naturally. And basically, the higher your factor I, the less susceptible you are to falling for those visual tricks. It's like you've got this built-in resistance to being fooled.
So it's not about being good at one specific illusion. It's like a general knack for seeing through the trickery, like having a built-in BS detector for your vision.
Love that analogy.
Yeah.
And yet it really does suggest that there's something fundamental about how our brains process this information that makes us more or less susceptible to illusion.
Okay, that's already super fascinating. But you hinted at something even more interesting before. This connection between how we see illusions and our personalities.
Buckle up, because this is where things get really wild. They're finding that people who are more susceptible to illusions, the ones who are more easily fooled, they also tend to be.
More easily fooled in what way? What are we talking about here?
Well, they tend to score higher on personality traits, like agreeableness and honesty, humility.
Wait, so you're saying that people who are more trusting, more likely to see the good in others, they're also more likely to be tricked by a visual illusion. Now that's a head scratcher.
Right. It's this fascinating link between how our brains process visual information and how we approach the world around us, even in social situations. It's not about being right or wrong, but it definitely suggests that there are different ways of perceiving and processing.
My mind is already blown wide open and we're just getting started. So we've got this factor influencing how susceptible we are to illusions, and now a possible link to personality traits, but there's more, right? You mentioned something earlier about mental health implications, and that just adds a whole other layer to this.
You're definitely right about that. It's still early days for this research, but they're finding some interesting correlations between how people respond to illusions and...
Don't leave me hanging.
And certain traits that are sometimes linked to psychosis.
Psychosis. Okay. I think we need to pause for a second and define what we mean by psychosis here, just so everyone listening is on the same page.
Absolutely. When we talk about psychosis in this context, we're talking about experiences where someone has difficulty telling the difference between what's real and what's not. Mm-hmm. Like they might have hallucinations, delusions, or unusual thoughts.
Okay, that makes sense. So how does that tie back to the illusions? Are we saying that if you're easily fooled by a visual trick, you're more likely to experience psychosis?
Whoa, hold on. It's definitely not that simple. And it's crucial to remember this is just one study. We need way more research to understand this connection fully.
Okay, so this isn't a cause and effect situation, more like a potential clue that needs further investigation.
Exactly. But what they did observe is that those who were less susceptible to the illusions, those who could see through the tricks more easily.
Those folks, yeah. What about them?
They tended to have higher scores on some of those traits, sometimes associated with psychosis.
Wow, so it's almost like their brains are wired to spot the real thing, even when it's disguised by an illusion. That's really interesting and definitely makes me want to dig deeper into this whole illusion personality brain connection.
Well, get this. They also tended to score higher on traits like, you know, antagonism and disinhibition.
So we're talking about people who might question authority a bit more, maybe not shy away from a little conflict.
Exactly. It's like this really interesting link between how their brain processes those visual cues and then how they kind of approach the world, you know, socially even. It's really fascinating.
This is blowing my mind here. So are you saying that our brains are kind of wired to see the world in a certain way and then that impacts like everything else, our personality, how we interact with others?
It really makes you wonder, right? It's like, what came first? Is it the brain's wiring that makes us more or less susceptible to illusions, which then influences our personality? Or is it our experiences and personalities that kind of shape how our brains perceive the world in the first place?
Whoa, that's a tough one. It's like the chicken or the egg dilemma, but for our brains.
Right. It's a real head scratcher. And to be honest, this particular study doesn't have all the answers. But it definitely opens up like a whole new way of looking at things. It's like we're just starting to understand this super intricate connection between our perceptions, our personalities, and how our brains actually work.
It's amazing how much we still don't know about something as complex as the human brain, right?
Yeah.
But how did they even study all of this? Were they like hooking people up to brain scanners and showing them those magic eye posters?
No, not quite. Remember that software I mentioned? Pollution?
Yeah, the reality bender.
Oh, that's the one. Well, they used that to show people a bunch of classic illusions. But here's the key. They could actually control how strong each illusion was. So take that Mueller-Lyer illusion, the one with the arrows that mess with your perception of line length.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
With pollution, they could tweak those arrows, make them more or less obvious, and then see how people's judgments changed.
So it's not just, do you see the illusion or not? It's more like, how much can we tweak this illusion before your brain starts to see things differently?
Exactly. And by measuring how accurate people were at, say, judging the length of those lines or the size of shapes while the illusion was in play, they got a much more precise, objective measurement.
That is seriously clever. It's like they found a way to measure something that we always thought was, like, totally subjective.
I know, right? Yeah. And it's because of this new method that they're finding these amazing links to personality and potentially even mental health.
Which brings us back to that whole mental health aspect. What exactly did they find there? I'm really curious about those connections.
Well, like I said, it's early days, but the study showed a correlation between higher susceptibility to illusions, meaning you're more easily fooled, and some traits associated with psychosis, like, say, having unusual or disorganized thoughts.
Okay, but we have to remember, correlation doesn't equal causation, right? Just because someone is more susceptible to illusions doesn't mean they're automatically, like, gonna have a psychotic break or anything.
Exactly. That is super important to keep in mind. This research is exciting, don't get me wrong, but we still have a lot more to learn before we can jump to any conclusions.
So while we're waiting for the next big breakthrough, what's the takeaway for all of us listening today? How should we think about these illusions now, knowing what we know?
That's a great question. I think the most important thing to remember is that our perception, even something as basic as sight, it's not always 100% accurate.
Wait, are you saying we can't trust our own eyes?
It's not that simple. Our brains are constantly working behind the scenes to make sense of the world around us using all sorts of information. What we're seeing, what we've experienced before, even our own biases. Illusions just kind of expose those little quirks in our perception.
So it's not like we're seeing things that aren't there. It's more like our brains are putting their own spin on things.
Exactly. And what's even more fascinating is that this spin, it can be different for everyone based on our own unique experiences and, you know, how our brains are wired.
Okay, mind officially blown again. So instead of getting frustrated by those illusions, we should see them as like a learning opportunity.
Absolutely. The next time you come across one, don't just try to figure it out. Take a second to really appreciate how strange it is, what it's showing you about how your brain works. It's like a sneak peek into the control room of your own mind.
Love that. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about appreciating how incredibly complex our brains are. But with all this talk about personalities and mental health, I'm curious, did this study use any illusions that we'd recognize, like famous ones?
Oh, absolutely. They picked some classics.
Like what? Give us some examples.
Well, there's the Delboeuf illusion, that one plays with our sense of size by putting identical circles next to circles of different sizes.
Okay, I've definitely fallen for that one.
Then there's the Ebbinghaus illusion. With that one, you have a circle surrounded by other circles.
Okay, I think I know this one.
If it's surrounded by small circles, The middle one looks bigger than if it's surrounded by big circles, even though they're the same size. And of course, no illusion study would be complete without the Müller-Lyer illusion, you know, with the arrows.
I was waiting for that one. It's amazing how those simple illusions still work, even when you know the secret.
That's what makes them so cool. You kind of expose those little shortcuts our brains take to make sense of the world, you know, because there's so much information coming at us all the time.
So it's not that our brains are doing something wrong. It's just that illusions highlight the rules they're playing by.
Exactly. And the more we learn about those rules, the more we understand about ourselves and how our minds work.
This is reminding me of those posters you see in, like, science classrooms with all the classic illusions. We should hand those out. But we've got these classic illusions, a new way of measuring how we respond to them, those connections to personality, and even hints about mental health. What else did this research uncover?
You're right. We can't forget about those mental health aspects. Remember how we were talking about the connection between how susceptible you are to illusions and certain traits that are sometimes linked to psychosis?
Yes. And how important it is to remember that just because two things are connected doesn't mean one causes the other.
100%. That's crucial to keep in mind. Just because there's a link doesn't mean it's a direct cause and effect situation. There could be a million other things going on that we haven't even thought of yet.
So it's still kind of a mystery then. What do you think is next for this research? Where do we go from here?
That is the million-dollar question. There are so many possibilities. Like, what if we could use illusions not just to learn about the brain, but to help people in their everyday lives?
What do you mean? Like, what could we use them for?
Think about it. What if we could use them to make learning more engaging? Or maybe to help people work through phobias or anxieties.
Okay, now you're really getting my brain going. Tell me more.
For example, some researchers are already looking at how illusions could be used in educational games and tools to make learning more fun and effective. Like, imagine a language learning app that uses visual illusions to help you remember new words.
So instead of just memorizing flashcards, you're, like, tricking your brain into learning.
Exactly. By understanding how our brains process visual information, we can design educational materials that really tap into those processes, which could make learning feel more intuitive and less like a chore.
That's incredible. It's like illusions are going from these cool brain teasers to powerful tools that can help people in tangible ways.
That's the dream, right? And who knows, maybe one day we'll even have personalized illusion therapy tailored to our own unique brain quirks.
Okay, now that is a future I am here for. Imagine, instead of just popping a pill, you go see an illusion therapist who gives you these visual exercises to help you manage your anxiety.
Right. It might sound like something straight out of Star Trek, but the possibilities are pretty mind-blowing. That's why it's so important to keep exploring these less conventional approaches.
Couldn't agree more. I'm feeling very inspired right now. It's like illusions are this untapped resource, this secret code to understanding our minds and potentially even making our lives better. And, you know, this has been an amazing deep dive. We've covered so much ground, how our brains perceive illusions, that fascinating link to personality traits, and even those potential applications for understanding and addressing mental health. It's incredible.
And we're just getting started. There's still so much more to discover in the world of illusions. Who knows what other secrets are waiting to be uncovered?
Okay, I am definitely ready for more, but I think we need to take a quick... Just kidding. We're not stopping now. I'm way too hooked. What else have you got for me?
You know what? Let's talk more about that new method. I think people might be surprised.
You mean it wasn't just, like, showing people blurry pictures and hoping for the best?
No, wait. Remember that software? Pollution.
Yeah.
That's what made all the difference.
Pollution. Yeah, that's the one. It sounds like something straight out of, like, a superhero movie.
I know, right? But it makes sense when you think about it. So Pollution gave the researchers this ability to, you know, create and fine-tune all these classic illusions.
Yeah.
And here's the really cool part. They could adjust just how strong each illusion was.
Oh, right, right. Like tweaking those lines and arrows to really mess with your perception.
Exactly. With Pollution, they can make the illusions more or less subtle, you know? So it's not just, hey, look at this illusion. It's more like, okay, how much can we tweak this before your brain starts to see things differently?
So it's less about whether you see the illusion or not and more about how much trippiness, for lack of a better word, your brain can handle before it breaks.
Exactly. And all the while, the software is tracking people's responses.
Yeah.
Like how accurate they are, how long it takes them to make a decision. It's super cool. And it makes the whole thing way more objective, you know?
I get it. It's like they found a way to measure something that we always thought was like totally unmeasurable, just happening up there in our heads.
Right. And it's because of that new method that they're making all these fascinating discoveries about our personalities, maybe even our mental health. It's really exciting stuff.
No kidding. So what's next? Where do we go from here with all this? What other secrets are these illusions hiding?
Well, imagine this. What if we could use these illusions not just to understand the brain, but to actually, like, help people?
Help people how? Give me an example.
Okay, so imagine using illusions to make learning more engaging and effective. There are already researchers looking at how we could incorporate illusions into educational games and tools.
Okay, so instead of just like staring at a textbook,
yeah,
you're getting your brain to learn through these like visual puzzles.
Exactly. And because we're learning more and more about how our brains process these visuals, we can use that knowledge to design materials that really tap into those processes.
That's amazing. It's like we're taking these illusions from like party tricks to tools that can really make a difference in how we learn and, I don't know, experience the world.
Right. And, you know, down the line, who knows? Maybe we'll even have like personalized illusion therapies tailored to each person's brain.
Oh, okay. Now that's a future I can get behind. Sign me up for that. But seriously, this has been incredible. We've gone from basic illusions to personality, mental health, the future of learning. It's mind-blowing. What a deep dive.
It really makes you appreciate the power of illusions, right?
No kidding. So for everyone listening, the next time you see an illusion, take a second. Don't just scroll past. Think about what it's showing you, not just about the world around you, but about what's happening inside that amazing brain of yours.
That's what we're here for.
This has been The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.